Chapter 11.
Take in a deep breath and center yourself.
Aliona's voice echoed all around me in the River Moonstone House.
Feel the way your spiritual sea runs through you, how your power curls around you and penetrates every fire of your being.
Aliona glowed in the dim light of the meditation hall, and she seemed to be a goddess come down from the starry ceiling. Maybe she was one. It was as if she always knew what to say and had all the right answers. Even now, she was explaining what would happen when she left me alone. "And after that?" I asked as I stared deeply into her amethyst eyes. "What do I do?"
"You gather and control your power."
She pressed a gentle kiss to my forehead before she stood.
"You have to understand how you and your power are one. And if you aren't one yet, then you must make it meld with you. The one in control is you, not your power."
"I will." I nodded sharply as I watched her leave the hall. "I will overcome this." Then I breathed in deeply as I took in her words, closed my eyes, and focused only on the sensation of my spiritual sea. I hadn't dived back into it since the day I'd attempted to free Asher from the chains of the miasma, but it was just as familiar to me as if I had been doing it all my life. Understanding the power that flowed through my veins and body was something far different than the meditation I'd done back on Earth. This was on the verge of losing myself to something much bigger that slept inside of me, like a tempest waiting to break free. Aside from Asher's sleeping presence inside of my spiritual sea, I could sense my connection to Mariah like a taut string. I followed that vaguely glowing string to what was like another abyss of energy inside me. It wasn't like the serene sea I'd come to know as my own power, but almost a glacial lake. Even then, that wasn't the right way to describe it. A mirror, that's what it was like, a silver mirror set upon an icy surface. Even as I reached out to it, this power felt cool and almost indifferent. There was a sharpness to it, and yet a duality as I sensed the desire to heal from it. This was the sword of healing, after all. It wouldn't make sense if there wasn't any healing power coming from it. I devoted hours simply to learning the sensation of the new power source and the way it curled around me. It was a cold sort of power, a bit like how my lightning felt as I summoned it. But there was no cool heat. This was just cold, like the reflection of the moon on a lake. Just sitting in a lotus position and breathing quietly was exhausting. My body wasn't doing anything, but my mind was going at 1,000 miles per hour, and I couldn't slow down at all. This normally took the average cultivator or mage decades to accomplish, if not centuries, and I wanted to cut that down drastically to months, if not weeks. Still, I couldn't push myself to the brink. Not with this. I'd already seen how that ended, and I was going to be careful. I never made the same mistake twice, and I already knew I was going to have to come back here and meditate more often. I wasn't sure how I would accomplish that when my schedule was already unpredictable, though. Maybe I would take advantage of my lessened need for sleep and spend most nights meditating. The 3 moons had already risen by the time I left the River Moonstone House, and I realized I must have been in there for hours. Yet somehow, it hadn't felt like time had passed at all for me. It was like a single moment frozen in time. I didn't want to go back to my rooms in the temporary palace, but I also didn't really know where I wanted to go. I was listless and full of tired energy from the intense meditation. Even though my mind was exhausted, my body wasn't, and there wasn't much I could do about it. Working on the reconstruction of the city would be a tad risky considering what had happened yesterday. There was also the fact that I didn't know if the architects had continued studying the potential farmland. So I wandered throughout the cobblestone streets of Hatra, not really thinking about anything as I let my feet carry me along. As I walked, I could sense warriors patrolling the inner walls in small groups, but other than that, everyone was asleep in their respective beds. Including, to my great surprise, my princess. I could feel the purity of her presence in her room in the temporary palace, which shocked me to a degree. I expected her to have spent yet another night down in the underground library and fall asleep while surrounded by ancient tomes. After some time, I stopped and glanced up at the three silver moons of Inati, and they shone fiercely and proudly as their light painted the bluestone walls and roofs in a wash of pale gray. I couldn't help but smile with pride at the sight. Hatra really had changed in the short time I'd lived here. My home had gone from a crumbling ruin into a city reborn. It would take time for it to become the jewel it once was, but it was happening step by step. Even now, with the arrival of the architects and nobles from Leyte, there was a sense of excitement in the air. Everyone knew change was coming, and the despair of the past 1,000 years was being wiped away. During my aimless wandering, my feet took me down through the subterranean library to the catacombs of the rulers of Hatra. Marble statues of each lord and lady lined the grand hall that was deep within the underground archives. But there was one in particular I was looking for. I finally came to a stop in front of the white marble statue of the previous ruler of my city, Tristan, of the House of Hatra El Shamash. This was my grandfather, and I'd gotten the chance to meet him and fight alongside him when some strange power had thrown me back in time 1,000 years. Last time, his spirit had just sort of appeared in front of me. I hadn't summoned him or called out his name, but maybe placing my hand on his nameplate would work. So, I took a step forward and placed my hand on the carved etchings at the base of the statue. "Tristan?" I said aloud. "Gramps? It's me, Evan. Are you here?" The marble statue glimmered for a moment, and it seemed like the stone behaved as if it were liquid for the merest of seconds. There was no flickering of lights and no sudden whoosh of wind like I'd seen in ghost movies back on Earth when a spirit was being summoned. All that happened was just a minute shift in the air as power concentrated within Tristan's statue. "Hello, Evan," Tristan spoke as his translucent body stepped out of his statue and readjusted his azure robes. "It's been a while." His brilliant crimson hair caught the light of the crystal lamps and seemed as if it was on fire. A pair of fox ears, the same color as his hair, twitched excitedly on his head. Mischief glimmered in his emerald eyes, so very much like my father's eyes, and I knew I had to bring Ruslan down here one day. It would definitely happen before I left Hatra to travel around Rama and win over the nobles and people. "Hey, Gramps," I sighed with a relieved smile. "I meant to check in sooner, but I didn't have any time until now."
"Ah, don't worry,"
Tristan ran a hand through his crimson hair as he shrugged.
"I can imagine that rebuilding our city is no easy task. Besides, I've all of eternity to spare. So tell me, why have you sought me out?"
"Where do I even start?" I laughed as I rubbed at the tension in my neck. "There's people from Leyte here, including another noble of the sword."
"Leyte, you say?"
Tristan's ears perked up straight with evident excitement.
"Things really are going back to the way they're supposed to be."
"Were Hatra and Leyte on friendly terms?" I asked as I picked up my grandfather's happiness. "The noble of the sword who came seems to be a decent guy, if a bit of a weirdo. The first thing he did when he met me was challenge me to a fight because he wanted to get to know me better."
"The Sword of Light and her wielder can always be trusted," Tristan explained with a slight smile on his face. "I'm not sure why, but there's always been a bond between the Sword of Light and the Sword of Healing. That bond extended to their wielders and our cities as well."
"Huh, that's good to know." I paused for a moment as I thought back to how I felt around Nikolaus. "I always feel like I can trust him, but I wasn't sure if it's my dragon instincts or something more. Sounds like it's because of the Sword of Healing."
"It could be both influencing each other," Tristan admitted with a shrug. "There's never been a dragon wielding a sword that I know of, so I can't be entirely sure. Besides, the wielder of the Sword of Light is always, for lack of a better word, pure. Light does not deceive with its actions, nor can it hide any sins. To bear the burden of the Sword of Light is to always be honest, no matter what."
"That's quite a heavy burden to have on someone's shoulders." I grew somber at those words.
"Indeed, but..."
Tristan shook his head slightly as he stepped forward.
"I don't think that's the only reason my favorite grandson has come to visit me. I suppose you're here to pick my brain about something. Just ask away, and I'll do my best to provide you with an answer."
"Well..." Do you know if there were any harpy nests around Hatra? I tilted my head to the side as I remembered the attack on the Orichalcum mine. Maybe some rather hellish ones?
That's an odd question. Why harpy nests?
Tristan frowned as he looked at me.
Are you looking to trade with them or something?
No, see, that's the thing, I began to explain. We got attacked by demonic harpies the other day.
Demonic harpies attacked you?
Tristan's eyebrows nearly shot up to his hairline.
There used to be one or two harpy nests in the mountains, but none of them were at all demonic in nature. Are you sure you didn't meet one of the creatures from the burning hells instead?
No, these were definitely harpies, I replied, and a muscle in my jaw twitched as I remembered their screams.
Something had managed to turn them into demons. We aren't sure what or even how, but they attacked us with the intent to destroy the Orichalcum mine. Thankfully, they didn't succeed. Did they still have their own minds?
Tristan asked as he began to pace in front of me and tapped his chin in thought.
That's the odd thing, I sighed as I rubbed my face. Their souls were crying out for help, for someone to save them.
However they were turned into demons, it wasn't by their own choice. I think someone was controlling them.
Terrifying to think of, Tristan muttered as he stopped pacing. They could potentially have an unending army behind them. All they would have to do is replace their soldiers any time they lost some, unlike us mortals.
The thought of that kind of army did not please me at all. Demons were bad enough to fight on their own as it was.
Yeah, so, I grimaced. Did anyone ever encounter anything like them in the past that you know of? Not demonic harpies,
Tristan replied and leaned against the base of his own statue with his arms crossed over his chest.
But those mountains have always been a little strange.
What do you mean by strange? I asked as I pulled the marble floor with my power and made some chairs and a table for us to sit at.
Well, parts of the forest and mountains are supposedly haunted.
Tristan shrugged as he walked over to one of the chairs and languidly sat down in it.
Before Hatra was attacked, I was putting together expeditions to go into those areas. One expedition was completely wiped out. No one ever came back.
I blinked at the sight of the translucent Tristan sitting down. It was a bit weird since I didn't realize spirits could sit down. I'd just made the second chair out of habit. Who knew?
It can't be the area where the Azurin village was, right?
I sat down with a frown.
If it was there, the Azurins would have pointed the expedition back towards Hatra. Could the expedition have just gotten lost or something?
I wondered if there were any records of the expeditions down in the library with us, or if they'd been above ground in the government offices by the Lunar Palace. When I had the chance, I'd have to check in with Julia or Leon to see if anyone had found any documentation in regards to these expeditions. Finding those papers could prove to be helpful in the future.
No, we have treaties with the Azurins, and they're under the protection of King Rodion.
Tristan shook his head as he spread his hands on the table.
And even if the expedition had somehow managed to get lost within the forest, there would have been survivors, and we would have been able to track them down. It was as if they completely disappeared, swallowed up by the mists of the mountains.
Okay, so what led you to sending out an expedition in the first place? I crossed my arms over my chest as I leaned back in my chair.
Something pretty serious must have happened. Were people being kidnapped from the city or something? Something like that.
Tristan scowled darkly with those words.
Wait, really?
I asked as I sat forward in shock.
Who was being taken from Hatra? Was it from within the walls of the actual city or the vassal villages? Children were disappearing.
Tristan's voice had developed a dark edge as he spoke.
Not only from the vassal villages along the forest's edge, but from within the walls of Hatra as well. Witnesses said they saw the children walking in the direction of the forest, as if they were possessed by some creature that was luring them.
Red-hot anger spiked in me until I paused to think for a moment about why it seemed familiar. They looked like they were possessed? That sounded similar to what the miasma was doing, or, well, being used for. It was possible whoever was using the miasma to control people now had tested it out on Hatra 1,000 years ago.
Sounds like mind control. We think the miasma has been doing that.
I frowned as I tapped my fingers absently on the table between us. Were there any reports of anything else? Anything weird or out of the ordinary? Well, all things considered.
Let me think for a moment.
Tristan closed his eyes for a moment and leaned back in his chair.
There was quite a variety of things occurring at the same time. The first that comes to mind is rather a bit morbid. Graves in some of the vassal villages were being desecrated, but no grave within the walls of Hatra was disturbed.
Why graves? I asked, and disgust dripped from my voice. That's so strange.
My advisors believed the perpetrators were looking for magical ingredients,
Tristan replied, with anger burning hot in his eyes.
For what nefarious purpose, we couldn't be sure.
What kind of a sick person would do that? I was already struggling with my anger at the thought of children being kidnapped by some psycho with potential ties to demons and the miasma. But adding corpse desecration onto that? Fuck that. They were definitely a monster.
But what did they take?
I gritted my teeth as I tightly clenched my fists. I mean, children were disappearing already. So were they taking things like the corpses of children?
Yes. The corpses of children and of cultivators.
Tristan shook his head, and his fox ears twitched angrily.
And of the cultivators, only those who had born children were taken.
So what can be done with those types of ingredients? I frowned down at my clenched fists. They were obviously taken for a reason. Out of everyone in Hatra and in the vassal villages, children and cultivators were chosen. This isn't a coincidence.
These items could be used for a wide variety of things, all the way from malevolent magic to medicine.
Tristan sighed as his ears went flat on his head.
There's just too many possibilities for us to be able to understand just exactly what they were after.
And these children were never seen again after they went into the forest? I asked. I was trying to find a clue, but so far the only common denominator was the forest.
Never again.
Tristan didn't visibly droop, but the melancholy wafted off of him in waves. I understood why. He had a duty to protect those children, and they'd been taken right under his watch. Worse still, he didn't even have a chance to take retribution for their deaths and desecration. Are there any other clues to go on? I tried to grasp at the minute details I had at my disposal.
Any direction to go in, anything you can give me.
Tristan was quiet for one long moment, as if he was recalling a memory. Then his eyes went dark, and he glanced back at me.
The day we met, Evan, I just returned from the forest,
Tristan began slowly, as if he'd almost forgotten the memory.
I'd gone by myself to scout the forest, since it would be easier if I was doing it alone, and had no one to distract me. I could easily slip in and out of anywhere with my power.
You found something, I gasped and leaned forward. There was something that wasn't supposed to be there in the forest, right?
I did.
Tristan's eyes darkened even further as he stared back at me.
There are some ruins in the mountains, and the legends say they were haunted. But when I say ruins, I expected them to be little more than crumbling stone walls and perhaps one sole remaining tower.
But it wasn't abandoned, I whispered back as I realized where this was heading. This was exactly the place we'd been looking for. My gut instinct knew this was the place the demonic harpies had come from.
You're right,
Tristan replied as he nodded.
Instead of there being ruins, there was a castle built onto the mountainside. As if it had always been there. I didn't manage to get inside the castle, but I did meet a strange person there.
A person? My curiosity was piqued by that. Who the hell could have been there?
A rather odd scholar.
Tristan frowned again, and his ears twitched.
He didn't give me his name, but he said he worked in the castle. He was startled by my presence, but didn't let it show on his face. I could smell it on him, though.
A scholar? Shock flared through me as I stared at my grandfather. It couldn't be. Could it actually be Olivier, once again, causing chaos for my people? Living 1,000 years wasn't that odd in this world. But it was like everything kept coming back full circle to him and his deceit. What did he look like? I clenched my fists tightly, not entirely sure if I hoped the scholar to be Olivier or some other person.
"He had blonde hair and pale green eyes," Tristan replied. "And he wore a leaf-shaped pendant in his hair."
My blood pounded harshly in my ears. It was Olivier. That fucking asshole was here in Hatra 1,000 years ago, and he was involved with the kidnapping of children. The kidnapping of my people. Killing him would be too merciful.